Today, as you know, is the beginning of Advent, the season of waiting and preparation for the birth of Jesus Christ. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. Our preaching series for this Advent season is titled Border Crossings. We invite you to experience the Advent story from the perspective of the people who encountered and crossed borders of familiarity, borders of comfort, borders of privilege, and borders of safety on their way to a new life. But Advent is not merely about history. It's also a means to examine our own lives and the borders we may encounter on our journey to new life in Christ. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the New Testament book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Adele Fraser is going to read the text. Adele is in seventh grade at Oak Grove Middle School in Bloomington, and she also plays violin for the Greater Twin Cities Youth Symphony. When you found the scripture, say word. If you need a little more time, say, Adele, wait on me, I'm under construction. Adele. Do you want the, Adele? Do you want the stand?
Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who are born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I were to tack on a title to the scripture that has been read, would be a checklist for the Christian traveler. A checklist for the Christian traveler. Pray with me, please. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there is something about that name. Lord God, whose name is above all names. The moment of preaching has arrived. Anoint your servant at this time that I may preach the word you have put on my heart with boldness, humility, clarity and insight, passion and power, fervor and flow. Take me out of myself and fill me full of your spirit that I may speak and your people may hear a life-giving, way-making, uplifting word. This is my prayer, and all who agree before the Lord say together, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. A checklist for the Christian traveler. It is impossible for me to think or talk about border crossings in this day and time without thinking about the hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing Syria and Iraq, Eritrea and Nigeria, El Salvador and Honduras, to name only a few. They flee violence, death threats, relentless unemployment, stifling, crushing poverty, political oppression, and religious persecution. These pilgrims often give up all their possessions in their quest for a better life, sometimes crossing borders of prosperity into poverty, esteem to ridicule, confidence into uncertainty, patience into exasperation, hope to despair, and old desperation to new desperation. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. I might have to preach to myself. Some migrants and refugees cross vast deserts, some mountains, others dangerous waters like the Mediterranean or the Rio Grande. Indeed, some may encounter all three, desert, mountains, and water crossings. Sadly, these physical barriers often are only the beginning. The more intractable borders, as we have observed in Europe and right here in the United States, are nationalistic immigration policies that favor some groups over others and disfavor refugees and immigrants who are not from the dominant racial or religious group. Y'all gonna help me this morning? In our scripture from John's gospel today, we witness a different type of border crossing. The transformation of Jesus from spiritual to physical being, from immortal God to mortal man. But this scripture also describes our journey, yours and mine, from darkness to light and from orphaned to adopted. The gospel writer John's declaration of the divinity of Jesus is unlike anything we encounter in any of the other gospels. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John refers to Jesus as the Word, or Logos in the Greek. Logos in the Greek language is the essential description of an all-encompassing, all-powerful God. John is saying Jesus came from God and has always been God, preceding time and creation. This same Jesus crossed the border between divinity and humanity to live in our midst. The Word became flesh and lived among us. But the scripture says the world did not know him, and his own people did not accept him. Unfortunately, not much has changed in over 2,000 years. The world still does not know Jesus, and his own people still do not accept him. So what are we going to make of this scripture? What can we learn about border crossings besides the lesson that they can sometimes be disappointing? I believe this gospel provides a checklist for a particular type of travel experience, the faith journey. For faithful followers of Jesus Christ, there will be obstacles, detours, potholes, and black ice. There are mountains and hills and rivers to climb. But this word offers a checklist for the Christian traveler to triumphantly traverse the borders ahead. I discern four steps, four items on this checklist. First, remember where you begin. Second, check your battery, your power source. Third, stay in your lane. I'm talking to you, Minnesota drivers. Stay in your lane. And fourth, expect to be searched, detained, and turned around at the border. Remember where you begin. There's an old saying that goes, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. But the opposite also is true. If you don't know where you've been, no road can take you back. The point is, you need both a starting point and a destination before you take off. The starting point is the fulcrum, the pivot or the hinge that sets the trajectory of travel. Am I making sense to anybody this morning? So many people today are running around with no sense of direction, no purpose. They don't know where they're going and they don't know where they've been. Our text today says that Jesus was with God and was God in the beginning, and all things came into being through him. Because all things came into being through him, Jesus has set the course. He's established our direction. Do I need to say that again? Because all things came into being through Jesus, that means that Jesus has set the course, has established our direction. Now, it's easy to miss this point in John's grand theology. We tend to read this text primarily as an accounting of the origins of the cosmos and Christ's pre-existent identity. But no less important in this scripture is the point that we came into being through Jesus Christ. And if we came into being through Christ, he set our pathway. And if Jesus, the Word, sets the course, then I'm not worried. I'm not worried about getting lost. I may feel lost sometimes, but then I remember that the Word says Jesus came to seek out and save the lost. I'm not going to fret over a fork in the road, because the Word says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. When my schemes go astray, and they often go astray, I remember the Word says the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. When I encounter strangers on my journey, I recall the Word says that we are all created in God's image and likeness. Even when I fall off course and into sin, the Word guides me back and comforts me, saying, I am he who blots out all your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Talking about Jesus pointing the way. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the starting point and the destination. So remember where you begin. Let's move on. We're talking about border crossings and our checklist for the Christian traveler. And the next item on the list is to check your battery. I love road trips, Reverend Healy, but I don't like the unexpected car problems that present themselves from time to time. I don't know about you, but I've had flat tires, broken windshield, dead batteries, and once I had the heat go out in the car as I was driving from Michigan to Minnesota in the middle of a snowstorm. Now, I wish I could forget that experience, but Sharon was with me, and she won't let me forget. One of the worst experiences I had was on a trip from Vancouver to Minneapolis when the electrical power in the old car I was driving failed. As I was making my way across Montana. Montana is the longest state, the widest state in the country. When a generator or an alternator fails, the car will run on battery power for a while until the battery dies. I was alone on the interstate at night in the winter, running solely on battery power as I watched my headlights slowly dim until there were no beams to guide my way. If you've ever been in the middle of Montana at night, you know the darkness is complete. I couldn't see a thing in front or in back of me. As I coasted to a stop, suddenly, and this is the truth, suddenly a car appeared behind me from out of nowhere and turned on its high beams. The driver followed me for several miles, lighting the road for both of us, until I came to a sign that pointed to a service station at the next exit. That car continued to follow me off the exit ramp and for 2 miles down a winding road until we reached the service station. And when I pulled into the service station, the trailing car, which was not a highway patrol vehicle, drove off. I never saw the driver. So what's this got to do with the scripture, preacher? And what's this got to do with your point about checking your battery? I'm glad you asked that question. John 1, 3 and 5 says, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Is this making sense to anybody? Jesus is life to the world, and the life of Jesus is light, illumination, warmth, understanding, direction, beacon, the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. I'm talking about light. Amen. And this light is for you and for me. Unlike the headlights in my old Volvo, the light of Jesus cannot be extinguished. Amen. The power never dies. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. This word doesn't promise we will never see darkness. It promises darkness cannot overcome the light. I'm not talking about what I've heard. I'm talking about what I have seen. What I have seen and what I know for myself. I can't promise you that Jesus will rescue you when you are a fool on the side of the road like I was in the middle of the winter in Montana driving by yourself. I know that's what you are thinking, so I'm just going to say it out loud. But I am saying that the light of Jesus will never go out. And in him, you will never know darkness. So check your batteries. Check on that power source. Make sure you are charged up. How do you charge up? With scripture and prayer before you head out to cross the next border. 1 John 1 and 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen. Moving on. Our checklist so far has us, one, remembering where we started, and two, checking our power supply. The next instruction, and you all need to hear me close on this, is to stay in your lane. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Stay in your lane. Our text in verses 6 through 9 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. John's assignment, his lane, if you will, was to testify of Jesus Christ so that all may believe and know the light was coming into the world. The record is, and here's the good part, that John completed his assignment. He stayed in his lane. Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels all speak of John the Baptist crying out from the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John is even credited with baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan. But John was not confused about his place. See, John was not confused about his place, about his role, about his assignment. Amen. See, John knew where his lane was. He knew how to stay in his lane. John didn't think that he was bigger, better, more important, or superior to the one he was responsible for proclaiming. He stayed in his lane. See, John knew something about staying in your lane, something that we could learn today. He testified, I am not worthy to carry his sandals. John stayed in his lane. But imagine what might have happened if John had drifted outside his lane. Conflict, confusion, cynicism, competition, congestion, collision. And that's just the words that begin with C. He surely would have diverted people from believing in Christ at the dear cost of their salvation. See, I'm not telling you to stay in your lane just so you can keep from scraping my car. I'm telling you to stay in your lane because you don't want to cause somebody else a collision. You don't want to cost somebody else their ability to get where they've got to go. You don't want to become a barrier between somebody else and their Savior. Stay in your lane. John the Baptist was focused, disciplined, and humble. Qualities in too bad in short supply today. It's so easy to take our eyes off what we're supposed to be doing to look at something we are not supposed to be doing. Metaphorically speaking, all of us are distracted drivers from time to time. We take our eyes off Christ to look at the temptations of the world. We take our eyes off Christ to look at what Christ is doing in somebody else's life. This is distracted driving, brothers and sisters, and it is dangerous to others and ourselves. Dangerous to others when we fail to lift the name of Jesus so that they can know of his love and his sacrifice for them. Dangerous to ourselves because of our own light is diminished when we fail to share Christ's light with the world. Amen. Stay in your lane, sisters and brothers, and testify to the light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus and Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Oh, that's a wonderful promise there. And you get it by staying in your lane. Let me make one final point. Our checklist for the Christian traveler so far includes remembering where you started. You with me? Amen. Check your battery. Amen. Stay in your lane. And the final instruction is perhaps the most difficult to understand and to execute. And it is expect to be searched, detained, and turned around at the border. I realize this must seem an odd entry for a travel checklist. But the scripture says he came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Ultimately, Jesus was jailed, tried, crucified, and died in an ill-conceived and violent plot to send him back across the border between flesh and spirit. Jesus was received with unimaginable cruelty, especially considering his divine status and his royal position. The fact that he did it knowingly and purposefully only makes it harder to accept and to understand. What are you saying here? I'm saying Jesus knew he was going to be scrutinized, detained, and turned around at the border. And he did it anyway. Who would go on a trip expecting to be searched, detained, and turned around when they reach their destination? Why leave home if you expect to be hassled and ultimately denied entrance at the border? But that's what Jesus did. He traversed the border between heaven and earth, coming into the world that came into being through him. And he was unrecognized by the world and scrutinized, doubted, and rejected by all but a few. As followers of Jesus, there's a better word. As activists for the cross, we also will endure hardship and persecution. I know that's hard for you to hear. But the fact is, if you are an activist for Christ, you are going to be hassled. You are going to be questioned. You are going to be persecuted. And you will be turned around. There are costs to pay as we endeavor to cross borders of inequality to justice, isolation to inclusion, conflict to peace, and darkness to light. 2 Corinthians 8 says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. Amen. Oh, I like that. Amen. Don't be discouraged. We are not defenseless wanderers or helpless tourists, brothers and sisters. We journey with a holy purpose and enjoy a special status. The text says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. That's good news, sisters and brothers. Children of God are royalty and joint heirs with Jesus. The question to ask yourself is, have you received Jesus? Do you believe in his name? If Jesus has taken up residence in your heart, then say amen. Amen. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then say amen. Amen. Have you called on the name of Jesus in the midnight hour? If so, say amen. Amen. Can you testify with the songwriter? There is a name I long to hear. I love to hear its worth. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest song on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Say amen. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is the good news, sisters and brothers. The word became flesh and lived among us. The word became flesh and lived among us. Now you and I must live in such a way that the word, Jesus Christ, is revealed in our flesh. Amen. As we wait on the coming of the Lord during this Advent season, what better way to honor him? Amen.